Bay.
BSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Good morning, happy Wednesday to you. Welcome into a new day on the program. Hope your day is starting off well. It's a little chillier than yesterday. It's about 40 degrees right now, at least according to my car. Let's see what the old weather app tells us. That's telling me 36. And that it feels like 36. I don't know. It doesn't feel quite that chilly, but certainly jacket weather if you're heading out the door. And if you are not heading out the door, well, more power to you. Hopefully you can stay nice and warm under the covers. I can tell you the best thing I did was buying that full-size, you know, covers my entire bed electric blanket for sleeping. It's terrible for getting out of bed in the morning because you don't want to leave. So what I've started doing is I've started turning up the heat because I have multiple alarms that wake me up. So I have one that sets, you know, that goes off about a half an hour before I actually want to get up to kind of pull me out of sleep so that I'm not in a deep REM. Because again, I've got a sleep doctor appointment tomorrow for my sleep apnea. And who knows, maybe it's gone. I don't know. I think I'm going to request another sleep study. It's been 4 years since I did my last one, actually almost five. So I think it'd be worth doing another one and see if this, you know, 100-pound weight loss has changed my sleep apnea. I don't expect that it will because I have always had trouble sleeping and weird things about the way I sleep, and I've always snored. So I think I might have had apnea even before I was overweight, you know, going back to when I was a kid. But it's still worth, you know, running the test just to see if anything's changed. It used to be, when I first was diagnosed with this in 2005, you used to have to get frequent sleep studies so they could adjust the titration on your machine, on your CPAP. So, it, you know, I had a very high titration, which is, you know, how much pressure they're pushing down your throat every night. And so the doctor said, you know, we're going to have you come back and do another. And this is when you had to do the sleep study in the sleep lab. Now you just take home some, or they can even send it, they send it to you in the mail, a little box. You hook this thing up to you while you sleep and it gives them everything they need. And then, you know, in those days I had to go into a sleep lab and then they would send a tech out to adjust my CPAP machine. Like somebody from the home medical company would have to come down and make an adjustment. Now everything's connected to the internet. So my CPAP machine is on the Wi-Fi. The doctors get a report. Like, so when I go to the doctor tomorrow, he's going to be able to and download a report of like my last, however long he wants to check of how I've slept. And if for some reason he can't connect to it, I can use my app and bring up that information. And so they can adjust that titration remotely. And it can be adjusted as it needs to go. You know, so if things change with me, they can, you know, they can change, it'll change on its own. It'll make those adjustments as variable. So it's been a huge difference. I'll never forget when I got my new machine in 2020 and I told them the machine that I was using and they're like, oh my God, how long have you had that machine? I was like, well, 15 years. So like, you're not supposed to have a CPAP for 15 years. Like, not the same one. So yeah, I'll be entering my 20th year of sleeping with one of those just about every night. Because it doesn't bother me to sleep with it. Although the other night, apparently my mask was loose and it was blowing air into my eye. And now I have like a bump under my eye that hasn't gone away yet. So there can be some side effects. But anybody who has said, oh, I can't sleep with that mask on, you get used to it. I mean, I didn't have any trouble. What I did is the day I got my machine, I took a nap between jobs with it on. So, you know, it wasn't my night sleep. I wasn't going to ruin myself if I couldn't sleep with it comfortably. And by the time, you know, I woke up from the nap, I was like, okay, you know, it's a little bit different. Thankfully, I was already married at that point. So I'd already been severely limited in how much space I had in the bed. So I didn't have to worry about the hose, you know, being too short. I kept right into my side of the bed, no problem. Now that I'm on my own again, you know, I have a long enough hose that if I want to move around the bed, I can, but I don't move around the bed anyway. And I've never been somebody that would lay all over the bed. I always had like my corner of the bed and that's where I laid. I would sleep in the corner. I would put the bed in the corner of the room. And I put some pillows along the wall and that's how I would sleep. It's weird to me to not have the bed up against the wall. Or at least it was when I first moved out on my own. Anyway, this is all important information that you need to know about me. But anyway, yes, we'll see what happens when I go to my sleep study tomorrow, when I go to my sleep doctor tomorrow and see if I can get that new sleep study. I'm not thinking that anything is going to change, but it's worth just checking up on. One night of just sleeping with some electrodes on me, not a big deal. The sleep study, though, is weird. Like when you had to go into the sleep lab, that was weird. I used to go to the one over in Dartmouth or the one in Lakeville, depending on, you know, which one they had availability at. And they make you go to bed at like 8 o'clock. Like they have you come into the room and, you know, get in your pajamas and everything and get ready to go to bed because they want you out by 9. And they'll let you watch a little bit of TV or something just to kind of wind you down. But then, like, they want you to close your eyes and fall asleep. And the weirdest part was when I woke up, like, in the middle of the night, never opened my eyes. I just kind of came out of sleep and was just laying there with my eyes closed and like, oh, yeah, I'm in the sleep lab, like, trying to fall back asleep. And the tech was immediately like, everything okay, Tim? Like, he knew from all the brain waves that I'd woken up. And that was kind of weird to me. And then I always tell everybody, don't worry about the sleep study for sleep apnea. That's the easy one. Just hope they don't try to give you the narcolepsy test, which I also have. Because that's where you sleep for 2 hours, you're awake for 2 hours. You sleep for 2 hours, you're awake for 2 hours. And that goes on and on for about 14 hours. And nothing has ever made me more like angry and edgy and ready to just tear somebody's throat out in my life than going through that. I went home and I think I slept for 2 days to kind of recover from that. Well, I came home on a Saturday morning and then I slept all through Saturday and most of Sunday. So, don't take that one unless you absolutely have to. I don't know if they've changed that test. I don't know if they have a different way of doing it now with all the new technology they have. But, man, I would not want to go through that again. And in fact, in 2020, they said, do you want us to test you again for narcolepsy to see if we can update that diagnosis? And I said, no, not at all. Because at that time, you couldn't go into the sleep lab. This is during COVID. So I could only imagine what it would have been like to try to take that at home. Anyway, 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Maybe someday we will have a morning where we take people's, you know, kind of sleep horror stories. maybe you've got tales of how bad it's been for you going through sleep studies or having sleep apnea, but we don't have to do that today. People have to get up today and they don't want to hear stories about sleep. But I do have, just following up on yesterday's discussion on the Lizzie Bordenhouse lawsuit against Miss Lizzie's Coffee. I do have the story up now at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. And in that story, I have a link to the court decision from the appellate court. And I would recommend giving that a read because Judge Bruce Celia, who was the one who wrote the decision, he did not miss an opportunity to make ghost references, supernatural references, Lizzie Borden references in writing that up. I mean, I could just picture this judge sitting there and thinking to himself, okay, I'm going to have fun with this. And I can imagine that, you know, trademark cases can get pretty boring. If there's a lot of minutiae involved in it, it's a lot of subtle differences in things. Like on the surface, when this story came out, people were like, oh, yeah, they are kind of copying Lizzie Bordenhouse because they called it Miss Lizzie's Coffee and they have a hatchet too. But like the court has to drill down and say, well, look at the difference in the way the blood splatters here and look at this axe has a notch and this one doesn't. And, you know, like they have to get into all these little tiny details about these things. So I can imagine it gets pretty tedious. And so I think Judge Celia just wanted to let loose a little bit and have some fun in writing the decision. But at the same time, it's also very critical of U.S. Ghost Adventures, the owners of the Lizzie Bordenhouse. Basically, I mean, the way I came away from reading it, and maybe I'm biased because of my opinion of this whole case to begin with, is what it came across as like, you wasted two courts' time now. Like, the district court wasting their time, I guess, you know, you want to find out if there is a trademark violation or take the chance that maybe they find in your favor, but once they smacked you down pretty hard, why would you appeal? And U.S. Ghost Adventures just must have some bad legal advice. Because I don't know how a lawyer looked at this case to begin with and said, yeah, let's go for it. Unless, you know, the plan was to just scare Miss Lizzie's Coffee into backing down because they didn't want to spend the money for a lawsuit. But from my understanding, from what Joe Pereira was telling me, you know, part of they countersued so that if they, you know, Miss Lizzie's lost, they'd have to pay for the legal fees for the coffee shop. So now you're paying two legal fees to drag this thing out. And it did not end the way that you wanted it to. So I don't know why you would keep pushing it, and I don't know if they're going to keep pushing it. I think what they're going to have to do here is find a way to get along. And I don't know how you're going to do that at this point. I don't know how you look at that and say there's anything but we have to be good neighbors to each other now. App chat, open line voicemails in the WBSM app. I'm going to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments.
I think she knew what I wanted to hear. Spin them around like a wheel on fire. Walking on tightrope and love's highway. Fatal attraction is where I'm at. There's no escaping me. I
welcome back in the great Maxi Priest from the album Bonafide. So the red flag warnings are still in effect. We are going to get some rain in the forecast tomorrow, Friday, and it looks like even Saturday morning, we're going to get some rain as well. However, they're still saying it's not going to be enough to take us out of this drought status. And in fact, yesterday, the drought status got updated. They put out a release yesterday, and let me see if I can dig it up. But they put out a release yesterday that they have updated the drought status to critical drought status as opposed to significant. And now we are in even more danger of fire with, you know, that's why you can't be burning things outdoors, can't be throwing cigarettes out. And there's a story, WPRI has the story. They spoke to the Massachusetts Department of Fire Services. And so far, just this month alone, Massachusetts has seen more than 400 brush fires. And as Jake Warwick, who is the spokesperson for the Department of Fire Services, said, every firefighter battling a preventable wildfire is one who can't respond to a house fire, car crash, or medical emergency. We won't be out of the woods until we have a few days of steady, soaking rain that gets past the surface, fuels, and deep into the ground. So we are nowhere close to being where we need to be. Lamone, I got 3 minutes here before I got to go to the news. What's on your mind?
Okay, there's a couple of things. You know the Mary, why are you bugging?
Yep.
You know where that comes from, right? The story about who? It's about Mary Booth. I might send you the video of it. It's a short video, but it's about this 13-year-old black girl working in a house back in 1870, something like that. They convicted her and they were about to lynch her, but she was supposedly had poisoned the people, the owner of the house and stuff like that. But she was set up and somebody else did it. But it's a pretty deep story. And Dave, yesterday you were talking about the movies that are coming out. Mm-hmm. Denzel is going to be in the next Black Panther movie.
Oh, I didn't know they were making another one.
Yeah, and so on. It's like he's supposed to be retiring shortly after that. He might maybe do a sequel, but depends what they're going to do with him in the movie. Because you know, like in the comic books, T'Challa winds up marrying Storm. They have a child together. You know, Storm, X-Men. Mm-hmm. And so, and I know Chad Boseman, when I talked to him about that, he said he was very anxious about working with Halle Berry. You know, she was Storm in X-Men.
Right.
And so that's who he was expecting to be. And she still looks young enough and you know, and that's a good thing. So something else I'm gonna share, but I think that's about it for right now. So it gives you something to think about. And thank you for a little brother, get on there and share that information. I'll send you the thing, the link to the video. It's not even 15 minutes long. I'll send it to you. Would you be able to watch it later on? I'm sure I'm not going to be able to watch it during the show.
I don't know if I will today, but maybe it'll keep me entertained tomorrow when I'm at the doctor's office waiting to be seen.
I'm still waiting for you to tell me about my other videos you're never going to watch. You know, you're terrible.
No, I watched that one.
The one with the Frank Thomas no name card, no name on the front of the card, rookie card.
Yeah. And by the way, I've got a story about baseball cards coming up that you're going to want to hear.
So I need to. It's going to come up shortly after the.
I'll bring it up right after the news.
All right, then, Playboy. I'd like to say so. Watch out. Remember, I told you about the arsonist that's doing the set the fire out in California too. And so just letting you know about the arsonists, just watch both sides of the country had fires going. I think that looks awfully, awfully sus to me. Just think about that, because I told you how they've been, since 2015, 87 to 94% of all the forest fires have been wildfires or have been arsonists inspired. All right. So I think that's terrible. Like I said, and do we need more problems with the earth in our country? The fire and using up all that good water. Remember how we went through that drought because of the water being used up? I don't want to be all upset. I don't want to be like OJ on the phone. But like I said, don't let me get carried away. Like I said, yeah. But I just think that it's okay.
All right.
I just think that just look out for. And you said a storm's coming there. You guys expecting a storm?
We're getting some rain the next couple of days, but not enough rain. I got to hold you there, though. Phil's waiting for the news.
Okay, God bless. Hey, Phil, what's shaking, player?
All right, you have a good day.
God bless everybody out in the New Bedford area.
Take it away.
Play on.
All right, we will have the story about baseball cards coming up. And actually, we're going to go back to what I was talking about yesterday when it comes to seeing Wicked in the theater. But right now, it is time to turn things over to Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom.
It might be a while before you see Donald Trump back in a courtroom. Which blood pressure meds could be bad for your kidneys? And five ways to a happier life.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President-elect Trump's New York City hush money case might be put on hold for 4 years. In a series of filings, Trump's lawyers urged the judge to delay ruling on Trump's argument for presidential immunity. The DA's office also wanted a pause in the case, but not a dismissal. The Trump cabinet nominations keep rolling in. The latest, TV's Dr. Oz to lead the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Brian Shook has the details.
CMS oversees Medicare, Medicaid, the Children's Health Insurance Program, and healthcare.gov, which currently provides coverage to nearly 50% of Americans. Trump said Oz has been at the forefront of healthy living for decades and will work alongside Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's been nominated to lead the Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Brian Shook.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries will lead his party again in the lower chamber. Democrats elected him for another 2 years on Tuesday. Minority Whip Catherine Clark and Caucus Chair Pete Aguilar were also reelected. Jeffries is the first black lawmaker to lead a party in Congress, taking over for former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi as the House's top Democrat. The judge overseeing Sean Diddy Combs' case is reportedly calling an emergency hearing after his jail cell was raided by the feds. Combs' lawyers say feds raided his cell and seized privileged materials. It's according to TMZ. His attorney claimed those materials included notes to his legal team about defense witnesses and strategies for his trial, which is set for May in New York. More than 30 state attorneys general are joining a national effort to increase federal online protections for children. The bipartisan coalition is urging Congress to pass the bipartisan Kids Online Safety Act before the end of the year. The group says lawmakers need to address the growing crisis of youth mental health linked to social media use. A new study from researchers at the University of Virginia School of Medicine indicates that some types of blood pressure medication can cause damage to the kidneys. Tammy Trujillo explains.
RAS inhibitors are widely used to block the effects of an enzyme that's produced by the kidneys when blood pressure drops. The UVA study shows that long-term use of RAS inhibitors can impair kidney function and lead to serious health problems. Researchers hope the study will lead to better ways to manage high blood pressure and other vascular diseases. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
And when it comes to happiness, experts say there are five habits you can embrace to help your joy become more consistent. Lucinda Kay has the story.
A psychologist at UC Riverside says find activities you can become fully absorbed in. It's called a flow state, and it brings you joy, like music, yoga, art, volunteering. Practice random acts of kindness. They can make you feel generous and capable. And choose gratitude. Celebrate your wins and cheer on other people's accomplishments, too. And the big one, nurture your relationships. Research shows relationships are more important than money, your job, and even your health when it comes to the pursuit of happiness. I'm Lucinda Kay.
WBSM Sports.
Well, the Bruins are moving on from their head coach just 20 games into the regular season. The Bruins announcing on Tuesday that Jim Montgomery has been let go. They're on home ice Thursday night with Utah Hockey Club. Celtics, meanwhile, hitting the road to play the Washington Wizards on Friday. New England Patriots in Miami to play the Dolphins on Sunday. You can hear the game right here on WBSM.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
One last beautiful day in store for Wednesday before big changes to our weather. A soaking rain arrives on Thursday morning, marking likely the first time since September that we pick up over an inch of rain. Our latest forecast has trended even higher. This is great for a drought situation, but too much heavy rain at once could lead to flooding, so look out for that on the roads. Showers linger on Friday, with any rain being on the lighter side. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM. And get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
So I did say we were going to have a story about baseball cards, and so I don't want to keep Lamone up all morning, so I'm going to give you that story right now. So this comes from WCVB. There was a man in Newburyport who helped uncover a rare baseball card at a yard sale in Danvers that is estimated to be worth millions of dollars. So this guy, Jeff Gross, has been collecting baseball cards for decades. But he was at a yard sale at his in-law's house in Danvers. And a guy comes by on his bicycle. You know, drives by on his bicycle past this yard sale that his in-laws are having, that Jeff Gross's in-laws are having. And Jeff Gross says, "I overheard him talking to my wife, and then he said something about baseball cards." So I said, "Oh, what's going on over here? Talking my language. Let's go. What do you got?" So the guy on the bicycle explained to Gross that he had some old cards passed down from his father. And so Gross said, "You know what? I'll go through them with you and I'll see what they're worth." And so the guy had mentioned, I guess, having a Shoeless Joe Jackson card from the 1919 Black Sox. And I guess that card is only really rumored to exist. No, nobody had one? I don't know. But he said, he told WCVB that the expert said to Gross, if that card is authenticated, then this guy has a card that has been rumored to exist. And that card is believed to be worth $50,000. But that was just the start of things, because a few days later, the guy that rode by on the bicycle found more cards that were handed down to him from his father and reached out to Jeff Gross and said, I've got some more cards. I want you to come and take a look at these. And, you know, and Gross was telling WCVB, he's like, I still have the text. He says something like the better of the two Babe Ruth cards. And so Jeff Gross is like, what? The better of the two? You have two Babe Ruth cards? Like, and it doesn't matter what Babe Ruth card you have. Any Babe Ruth card that's a real original, not a reprint, gonna be worth something. Gotta be worth something. And so Jeff Gross goes and takes a look at these cards, and the guy has a 1916 Babe Ruth rookie card from when he started in the major leagues with the Red Sox. Nobody's seen one of these before. This might be the rarest card in existence because people have Honus Wagner cards. There's Honus Wagner cards out there. Not many, but there's enough. And if I remember correctly, I may be wrong in this, but the reason why the Wagner card is worth so much is because they used to put them out in, you know, the tobacco products. They called them tobacco cards because they would put them in a pouch of chewing tobacco or you know, pipe tobacco. And Wagner was a teetotaler and didn't approve of smoking, and he made them stop putting his card in the tobacco. So that's why they're so rare. But any of those old tobacco cards, you know, can still fetch some pretty good money. But this is going to be more valuable than that card, I would assume. A never-before-seen Babe Ruth rookie card. And it's going to be auctioned off now with the Robert Edward Auction House with a minimum bid of $150,000, but it's expected to go for way more. Like, they're thinking this thing is going to go in the millions. The millions for one baseball card that his dad passed down to him. That who knows how much his dad paid for. He might have had it passed down to him from his father. But that's going to lead me to ask the question today. What is the most valuable thing that you've ever had that you had no idea what it was worth? You know, that you had this thing and then you found out later, like, oh, you know, that's worth money, right? Or maybe you have an inkling that something is worth money, but you didn't want to sell it. So you never really looked up to see what the actual value is. And you found out it was worth way more than you ever thought that it was worth. Like, I have something that somebody gave me years ago. In fact, you may be listening. Someone gave me one of the old cartoons from the Standard Times when they used to have sports cartoons of Ted Williams. And it was actually, and this is the original art. It's not the newspaper. It's the original art that the artist drew and then went to Ted Williams' camp when Ted was there and had him sign it. So this is legitimately hand-signed by Ted Williams, not by his son, John Henry Williams, which was all the problem with the Ted Williams autographs in the later part of his life is they were all fake. They were all his son signing them. This is definitely signed by Ted Williams himself in person. Of course, there's no COA or any of that kind of stuff, but and this was given to me in a frame and said, you know, you should have this. And, you know, I've never bothered to look to see what it would be worth because I would never sell that. I have that thing locked away, safe and secure. Just because it's such a unique, awesome thing. But I don't know, you know, what that value is. I don't want to know. That's the thing is, you know, you have things that you say, well, I don't plan on selling it, so I don't need to look it up. But then somebody says, you know, that's worth, you know, however much. So Lamont's calling back in, but he's got some expert insight in this topic. So welcome back in, Lamont.
Okay, yeah. Well, that Babe Ruth card, I graded that for SGC, and it sold for $7.2 million last December of last year. And the Mickey Mantle card is only 10 SGC 10. I graded that. That sold for $12.5 million the year before in December. Heritage Auction. And it's like, now the Babe Ruth card was for the Babe Ruth Museum. And there was like other cards that I graded also for them at that same time when they had that sent to me. And so, I've got old cards, like I've got Babe Ruth cards, like for instance, the 33 Gowdy. One reason why I was able to get the job working for SGC because I opened up hundreds of wax packs, building sets, those like that. And so and I know what they look like, I know what to look for. And I think the most viable thing, now mind you, I've had those cards in my hands, but as far as the most viable thing I've owned, I'd like to say, I don't know, I had a bottle of that belonged to Thomas Jefferson of his cognac that he used to make there.
Yeah.
and it was autographed by him on the bottle and stuff like that. And so, yeah, that was pretty neat. But I've had other things that, for instance, remember I told you my favorite comic book of all time was Superman versus Muhammad Ali, mm-hmm. which I had autographed. And that was just the only one, like I said, in 1986, when Muhammad Ali autographed for me, he said, this is the only comic book you've seen with Christopher Reeve's autograph on it. And then when I saw him in 2006, 20 years later, I was third person in line. And he said, you know, that was still the only comic book I've seen with his autograph on it. And he remembered me after all that. That made me feel really good. And it's like, that right there, that comic book right there, somebody's got it out there, and it's considered stolen. So that could be anywhere between literally probably $1.2 million for that one comic book. Both of them were dead. Yeah. And I have the you were talking about how you had the thing for Ted Williams. I also got like things from autographed and drawn by Neil Adams, who drew the comic book, mm-hmm. and that are small. They're like clear, you know, the stencils you can see through them, and it's like that's I got those for the original ones for the comic book also, and so Neil Adams just died a couple of years back too. One of the greatest, him and then and Jack Kirby, in my eyes, were the two greatest comic book. Artist of all time. But like I said, that card right there you're talking about, is it a red card or is it a blue card?
I don't know. It doesn't have the description of it.
Because I've graded blue ones and a red one and one yellow one. And now, mind you, I've seen these cards back, some of these cards back in 91, 92, when I was working for Smokies. It's great, you know, building sets and stuff for them, going through all those things like that. You know, Smokey's baseball card shop. There's a big story about that there if you want to hear about that here in Vegas. But anyways, like I said, I'm happy for that gentleman. And let's hope that, you know, since it's out there in the public, so he's not going to get, ripped off like a lot of other people done, or kids have gotten ripped off. Oh, so
yeah, it's going through an auction house. I mean, he's decided to remain anonymous. He doesn't want his name out there, but the auction house is handling it for him.
That's a great thing. Also, I have they have the Black Swamp find. If you ever find about that, see, there's a bunch of cards that for the set from the 1910s. Eberle sets. If you look at those are really nice. I've got a Connie Mack card from there. From that card, and it's a 10, and it's like the Black Swamp thing that had they had a whole story. But you remember the show on what is it on FX? The Money Channel where they have like, oh, look, we found, you know, the what is that called? But it had Jamie, the chick was named Jamie. She was the host of it.
I'm not sure. You know,
it's the Fox Business Channel.
Yeah, I don't watch it.
It's, I forgot the name of the show. Oh, it's really good. They have, like, people find things, cards, whatever, and this is money we found. And so, and it's like, that's where they had that on there. And it was also
Hey, I got to hold you there, Lamone. I'm late for a break.
Okay, thank you. Enjoy your break and break fast, Playboy.
All right, you have a good day.
Hold on. God bless.
All right. Sorry, got to take this break. We'll be right back. And we are inching closer and closer to Thanksgiving. In fact, 1 week from today, well, you better have your turkey by then or else you're going to have trouble finding one. And the place you should go to get your turkey is the Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford, because not only do they get some of the best birds around, but they'll even cook it for you. If you would like to have them prepare your turkey and have it ready to go, maybe you're somebody who doesn't have a big enough oven to handle the size turkey you need for everybody coming over, or maybe you're going to have so much stuff you got to put in the oven that you want to have the turkey all ready to go and you can just warm it up a little. Maybe you just would rather have a platter made with everything ready, all set to go, and you don't even have to worry about cooking at all. Whatever it may be, the Butcher Shop will take care of you. This is one of the days when they really shine because they know how much work Thanksgiving is, and they'd like to take that work off your plate so you can enjoy the holiday with your family. All you have to do is stop by and go to The Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford, and talk with them about it or give them a call and set it all up so that you can just pick up your turkey next week and not have to worry about anything. Or maybe you're somebody who wants to cook it yourself. Maybe you like the process of it. You like having the turkey smell permeating through your home on Thanksgiving morning. Oh, that's one of my favorite. That's what I miss about, you know, going to someone else's house for Thanksgiving, is I miss having the turkey smell all day long. And then lingering in the house for days afterwards. I miss that. But I also don't miss having to clean up. So it's kind of nice to just go to somebody else's house and go home. Well, that's part of the joy of going to the butcher shop. Because you get yourself one of those platters, easy cleanup. So talk with Joe, talk with Eric, and find out how to make your life easier by visiting the butcher shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. We'll be back after one final break.